Our first reading this morning is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 35. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Our psalm for the day is Psalm 133. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down into his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Our New Testament reading is from 1 John chapter 1 and continues till chapter 2, verse 2. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. And now if you could rise, if you're able, for the reading of the gospel. So our gospel today is from John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. And this takes place on the evening of Easter Sunday after Peter and John have seen the empty tomb and Jesus has appeared to Mary Magdalene. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hand and his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Here ends the gospel. You may be seated. So some stories are just good enough to be repeated. And I'm sorry if you've heard this one before. But there's a story that about a new pastor who, as part of his getting to know his congregation, was calling on everyone in their homes. And he came to this one particular home, and he could see there was a car in the driveway, and the inside door was open, and there was music coming from the kitchen. But he knocked and knocked and knocked, and no one came to the door. And he was pretty frustrated by that. How could they hear him knocking and not come and greet him? So he took his business card, and he wrote a little phrase on it and stuck it in the door. And what he wrote on the business card was Revelation 3:20. So if you look up Revelation 3:20 in the Bible, it says, "Look, here I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal as friends." The next Sunday, as he was going through and gathering the collection, there his business card was in the collection plate. And on it, someone had written Genesis 3:10. And he didn't know right off the top of his head what it was, so he went to his Bible and he looked it up, and it said, "He replied, 'I heard you, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked.'" I'm sorry if you've heard that before, but it's just too good not to repeat. And you know, our gospel today is another one of those stories that's too good not to repeat. The story of Thomas, he gets such a bum rap in the Bible, and the doubting Thomas tag. Do we even know why he wasn't with the disciples that night? The disciples had been kind of scattered by the militant action of the Romans and the Jews, and he had seen his friend, his teacher, die a terrible, awful death. And so where Thomas was, we don't know, but I'm sure that he was grieving. He was grieving the loss of his friend, the loss of a dream, the loss of what he had come to believe was the savior of his country and of his people. I can't help but imagine